Talk Radio.
Listen, folks, this is Dr. John live from the boardwalk in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We have got an action-packed, fun-filled, one of the greatest shows ever tonight, and I'm so glad that everybody is here with us. And, I mean, what else can I say? You can hear the roar of the cars there, and Cody is drawing caricatures, and I just said, look, buddy, I'm going to do my show. This is too important. So, first of all, I want to say hello to our co-hosts, and then to our guest of honor, and then to our other guests, so that everybody knows what in the heck is going on. So first of all, co-hosts on the board tonight from Jacksonville, North Carolina, the one and only Dave Atwell, the most dependable dude I know. How are you doing tonight, Dave?
It's nice to be nicknamed after an adult undergarment, but nevertheless, yes, I'm doing fantastic, I'm about to enjoy a new cigar from Godfather's. That's a CAO Italia that I've never tried. I'm going to give that a shot. And I actually have my favorite malt beverage with the blue ribbon on it in a long neck tonight. Well, we're moving on up. And
That's great. And by the way, lest I forget, I don't want to forget, it is the top of the hour, and we got to say thank you, Brady Hicks and VSC Nation, for our 5 p.m. Friday spot. We love you for that, and we appreciate it. So everybody listen to VSC Nation when you're not listening to Pop Culture Stars or Scary Cast. So anyway, all right, that's Dave. We're glad to have you here. From our eye in the sky in Indianapolis, who is now currently kind of stationed in Jacksonville, Todd Saxon. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
I am outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. Look, dang, I'm excited about tonight, and I thought I'd let you know I'm channeling a little Dave Atwell myself here. Wife and I were out and about here this weekend, Saturday evening, swung by Godfather's, and I'm in a little Godfather's Cigars product here tonight myself, and you know, I'm having a frosted one too. I have a couple in bottles in the thing. So, but yeah, ecstatic to be here. I can't wait till people hear the guests. It's going to be so freaking awesome.
That is wonderful. Glad you're here. And co-host Tim Armstrong from the True Eye in the Sky. You are from Indianapolis, right, Tim? I know you're from Indiana. You are from Indianapolis, right?
Yes, sir.
How you doing tonight?
I am humbled and blessed to be here and announced as a co-host. I'm sitting out on the porch and myself a nice vodka and a Coke and ready to go.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm the only one that doesn't have a drink, you know. I mean, this is like, you know, those poor ladies on The View, they don't get to have a drink. I do. We all do, but
you
I can't because I'm out
around.
Working.
You're getting hammered and we're having to carry it sober.
That's right. Somebody's got to carry the show. All right. Now, First of all, I'm going to introduce our guest that is always welcome. Anytime, we love her to death. From Arkansas, the one and only Granny Hookster. How are you doing tonight,
Well,
Granny?
Hey, everybody. Well, I'm doing well. Thanks for inviting me to be on the show again. And I'm just sitting here watching guys' grocery games with my TV muted and having a glass of iced tea with lemon in it.
Well, actually, that's what I'm drinking from Mo Moon's iced tea with lemon, and of course sweet and low.
I drink unsweet tea. So
there we go. That's exactly what we're going to have to answer because there's this assumption that all Southerners only drink sweetened tea.
But you got to understand something, guys. Granny is not originally from Arkansas. I've only been in Arkansas. I moved to Arkansas in 1988. And the city I live in currently, which is Springdale, Arkansas, I've been here since 1999. But I am originally a Kansas girl.
Wow.
I was born and raised in Kansas, so I'm not a true Southerner.
That's all right. What part of Kansas, Granny?
Well, I lived in different places. I lived in a little farming community for about 17 years called St. Francis, which was like a little farming community about 35 miles west of Goodland. We were 10 miles from the Colorado line and 13 miles from the Nebraska line. But I was born and raised in Leavenworth, which is about an hour from Kansas City or so. I'm about an hour from Lawrence, which is Jayhawk country, you know. But
Well, that's great.
Well,
that's,
there's
that's
a
kinda where
military.
I think I...
There's a military base. Fort Leavenworth is there, too, where I'm originally from. So
I think we all know that, Granny, and that's probably where our next guest has come from for many years. I'm just teasing. First of all, I want to introduce a great friend of pop culture stars, and a guy that's going to be with us once a month to cause trouble. We need more trouble. It doesn't need to just be me and Dave and Liz and Todd. We need more trouble. So I want to introduce the one and only Chaz Moretti from Chicago.
Hey.
Chaz, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for that kind introduction. And yes, I do have many friends at Fort Leavenworth and are all scheduled to be released in about 3 years.
Oh, okay, great. Well, let me know. We'll have a pop culture stars main event party for that. That'd be great.
Oh, good Lord. That's the last thing we need. I do want to give a happy birthday to Granny Hulkster. Happy birthday to my number one
Thank
fan.
You.
I know you love me.
Hey, happy birthday.
Well, that's yet to be determined, Chess. Yes, guys, my birthday was actually Saturday. I turned 58 on Saturday the 29th. It was actually my birthday. So thank you, Chaz. But, yes, that's to be determined yet how much Granny really, truly loves you.
Oh, don't worry. Well, I keep working on you. You'll fall head over heels.
That's right, Granny. He'll get in your skin, and it's great. And so it's good to have everybody here. Now, Chaz,
now, Dr.
what I'm going to ask you.
Hold on. I can't believe we're not having everybody sing.
Oh, are we going to sing? Can we sing Happy Birthday, Granny?
Well, let's
sure,
do that.
Sure, why not? Why not?
Okay, all right, I'll start since I have music. I'm a music major. All right, one, two, three. Happy birthday,
happy birthday to you.
Happy
birthday
to
you.
Happy birthday, Granny Hulkster,
number one fan.
And we love you. Happy birthday
to you.
Oh, well, thank you, guys. That was just absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
The word, Granny. It's absolutely amazing when you get this bunch singing happy birthday to you. So
I was
anyway,
gonna say, Chaz, not have it as good. Hey, Dr. John, real quick, we just had two more people jump on, so I wanted to get their names and know who just joined us.
Okay. Is there – what are the area codes? And I bet I can tell you who they are.
I got a 702 and an 804.
Oh, okay, no. 702 is going to be Malcolm, and 804 is going to be Steve Logan, Professor Wrestling.
Yeah, Steve.
Hey. Steve, Malcolm, good to have you aboard.
Hey, thank you.
Hi, Malcolm. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Yes,
hi, Grant. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Can I sing for you, Grant?
Happy
well,
birthday.
Well, sure, real quick, Malcolm. I mean, if it's okay with them, if it's okay with the other guys.
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
Is it okay?
Happy
sure,
birthday
go ahead.
To you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Granny. Happy birthday to you.
Okay.
Well, thank you,
Malcolm. We had an encore.
Thank you.
Boy, that Malcolm sounds like Jim Neighbors.
he'll discuss that with you later, Chaz, I can tell you. That's great, yeah. Just glad to have everybody aboard. It really is. It's great. And
Steve, I like it.
Yeah. Now, Chaz, tell us what you have been doing in the world of wrestling up there in Chicago these days. We know that you're a manager. We know that you're active in it. And tell us what's going on with you in wrestling. That's always actually the question I like to ask you.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's been very exciting over the past couple months. I have been signed to a 2-year exclusive national contract with the North American Wrestling Alliance, which is relaunching after some years away. They started out in the 80s and 90s co-promoting with Herb Abrams' UWF and branching out to their own, and they were a force to be reckoned with back then. And the relaunch is started. The website should be up sometime next week. And signing talent left and right, they signed Watt to an exclusive contract because, you know, when you need a manager, when you need an agent, when you need somebody that is known from coast to coast, border to border, without an introduction, they call Chaz Moretti. The rest of these guys, there are two types of people in the wrestling world. There are those that do, and there are those that wish they can do. So to all of them, do I feel sorry for you? Absolutely not. Because if you were as good as I was, you would have gotten signed, but you're not. Chaz Moretti's the real deal, baby, and I am here, and I am so excited to be a part of the North American Wrestling Alliance. If you take a look at a lot of their old footage from the 80s and 90s, I mean, they gave opportunities to guys like Sean Waltman before he was signed to the WWF. Tommy Dreamer's first match was with them. Just so much rich history. And I got to give my deepest thanks to Tony Capone and John Cassell, Lou Reardon, and all the guys at the NAWA for signing me and having me aboard. I'm very excited to start performing with them. They are going to be starting out on the East Coast in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, and they're looking to expand to the Midwest and to the South. And before you know it, the NAWA will be nationwide. And I'm just really, you know, all joking and promo aside, I'm very humbled and I'm very proud to be a part of that.
Well, that's great. And I tell you what, if they get down to the South, let them know that I am available to do an announcing gig for them. It'd be a lot of fun.
I would revive my
years with the Professional Wrestling Federation. You know, the PWF, Please Wrestle for Free. That's what they used to call it. It was great.
If you ever make it to Arkansas with this organization, Granny will be front row, you know, just telling everybody who to cheer for and who to boo for and, you know, and all that good stuff, even though I may not be familiar with the wrestlers, but I can catch on quick.
Well, you know what? We're looking very forward to the expansion, and we're looking very forward to going to a lot of different places, including Arkansas. And, Granny, I would just be tickled pink to have you front row at one of our events, and to have you boo me would be music to my ears.
Well, honey, believe me, I can do it, and I do it very well. Thank you. If I do say so myself, I'm very humbled but I've been told by many wrestling federations that I'm very good at what I do, and so I am looking forward to it.
You're very good at being a bad girl and yelling at the bad guys, right?
Well, I'm not a bad girl, but I have fun yelling at the bad guys for sure.
That's good. All right. Now I gotta grab everybody else in here. Dave and Todd, what you guys got going on? And then Tim, what do you think? And then Steve, talk. So first of all, Dave and Todd, what's going on? What do you think about all this? This is so cool that we've had to have this announcement made right here on Pop Culture Stalkers.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. It's great to hear. And anything that, any good news at this point, we've been through such a period in our history of late where it seems like bad news and destruction is dominating everything. And I would like to say, along with the good news that Chaz has put forth, you guys hear me talk a lot about digging deeper and, informing yourself and making your own opinions and don't let Brad Pitt guide what you're thinking and whatnot. I was eyeballing the Dow, and I've always said that those who know what's going on, on Wall Street are not the ones who are getting their opinions from Yahoo News or Joy Behar. They're actually making their own minds up and they know what's going on.
Joy Behar, oh my goodness.
Woohoo! And they know what's going on in this country. So the Dow today closed at 29,100.5. Why is that number significant? Glad you asked. Because the year opened up with a 300-point rally. And for those uninformed listeners, a rally means things are going good. The Dow closed 28,868.8. So, boys and girls, that just means right there that we are up over 200 points than what we were January 2, 2020. So, take your mask. And take your virus and take your burning and your spray painting and everything else and pound it, because things are going on without your misery. And
here, here.
Amen. So, and just another little bit of footnote on that piece of good news. Started up two nights ago on the newest book, The Writing Mojo.
You did?
I did indeed, and I'm having a blast. So
I got my mojo back, baby.
I like it. I like it. The
nice.
Man, Dave, that's great news, brother. The I gotta throw some stuff out here. The first off, again, just ecstatic to have so many folks that I haven't got to talk to in so long. You know, we got Malcolm. Malcolm, I'm. Man, been a while since we got to chat, man. The we got Steve here. He always brings that wealth of knowledge. Granny, man, your energy can't be beat. Just can't be beat. You keep rocking, girl. And Chas, we got some questions, brother. The now look, I understand you did some traveling in support of the NAWA.
You know, I did, and as of sorts, we did a little promotional thing over the last couple of days, and it was actually nice to take off on an 11-hour drive, and it got me thinking of the old days in the territories, you know, since we're talking about pop culture, and how those guys would just make towns, and I mean, you know, you start getting in the rhythm of the road, so to speak, and next thing you know, you're saying, all right, Chicago to Indianapolis, that's our stop, next stop, Louisville. You know, next stop, Nashville. Before you know it, you're in Birmingham. And, you know, it was kind of funny because my wife, who is a phenomenal road trip partner, I mean, she is a navigator. She is a lookout scout. She has probably one of the most eclectic, greatest music playlists for road trips that you're ever going to listen to. And we basically stopped for one bathroom break in 11 hours, and it was because I had to go, not because she had to go.
Oh, that's,
God
that's
bless my wife for putting up with me.
No, no, I made it from Alabama straight through to Chicago and didn't have to pee once.
Amy,
that's
how
awesome.
You
doing?
Awesome.
You go, girl.
Hi, Amy.
Well, I mean,
hi, Amy.
Hi, Amy. Love you.
Love you, too.
God, this is kind of like the Stroh Show. I love it.
Hey, Kaz, see, when you come to Arkansas, your lovely wife and I are going to be on the front row giving you so much grief, you're not going to know how to handle it.
I'm going to give
her. Oh, believe me, I'm used to it.
No,
I live with her.
We're going to get Granny and Chad.
You know, the sad part is I'll get booed during the show and lectured afterwards. Welcome to my
well,
life.
Hey, you know what? You know what? But see, Amy and I can give you all sorts of grief because you say I love you, Chaz. Well, you know what? That's yet to be determined. I keep telling him, Amy, he's having those delusional dreams. He needs to take his medication. But, you know, you just wait, sweetheart. When you come to Arkansas, you are going to get so much grief from me, you're not going to know what to think of Granny Hulkster.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. And I, you know, like I said before, we're looking so forward to the NAWA expanding that it'll be a welcome treat to see Granny Hulkster at the show.
Oh yeah, I can't wait.
We're gonna set us up a weekend and get everybody out there and just have a blast. It'll be a pop culture stars weekend right on the heels of the NAWA, so that's gonna be wonderful.
Oh, most definitely,
Chaz.
Yes, sir.
I got something I want you to talk to Tim about because he has never had the experience of the going out to an indie event and seeing how that works and how just I've told them before how awesome it is for the family, but that's an outside-in perspective. Would you mind giving them an inside-out perspective of those kind of things?
Absolutely. What's going on right now is a renaissance, so to speak, in professional wrestling. You have your larger organizations that are out there and doing what they do. You also have organizations that are about to make a run and make a challenge at the two largest organizations, at AEW and at WWE. And that's what the NAWA is about. We are a company that is prideful and proud of the fact that we are going to present old-school wrestling with a new-school twist. I mean, you're basically going to have an updated version of the wrestling that we grew up on in the 70s and the 80s. And when you're there, and Granny can pull a test to this, as well as Malcolm and Steve, when you're at a wrestling event, I don't care if there's 20 people or 20,000 people, there's an electricity in the air in that event, that something is going to happen that maybe you didn't expect, or maybe you did, and it's, you know, it's something that you want to see. And strangely enough, a lot of times it's a crowd wanting to see me get my butt handed to me, which doesn't happen often, but it is always entertaining.
But it is very entertaining.
Would you be quiet?
That is so awesome.
So, I mean, as an inside out, you always get excited. You're always happy to see, you know, a full house, obviously, but it doesn't matter. Like I said, if there's 10 or 10,000, it really doesn't matter. What's very gratifying, and to not toot my own horn, but what's very gratifying as a person that performs in professional wrestling is the look on the faces of children. Because children believe in the magic. You know, adults in our world get very cynical, but children still believe in the magic. And when the adults believe in the magic, that's a great bonus. You know, because that tells me that what I'm portraying and what I'm putting out there is something that people are buying into, and people are suspending their disbelief. They're forgetting about the troubles of the world for a while and focused on what's going on inside the ring. And so you know, that's pretty much an inside perspective. I don't like to use the term indie, and I don't like to use the term independent, because it's all professional wrestling. You know, I prefer to try to categorize it as major leagues and minor leagues. And, you know, you got to start out in single A and work your way up. And you have that rare occasion where a company is poised to become a major player. And that's what's going on with the North American Wrestling Alliance. And, again, like I said, I'm very proud to be a part of it. And I look forward to seeing those expressions and those faces. And, you know, quite frankly, everybody says, oh, you know, how does it feel to be cheered by the crowd? I wouldn't know. I don't care if people cheer me. That's right. Nobody likes me.
He would be terrified if people cheered for him. He wouldn't know what to think. He'd probably be running around feeling their foreheads. Are you feeling okay? Are you okay?
Oh, you know what's funny? That happened to me one time. I was a rookie. I was not in professional wrestling more than 6 months, and I'm working a show in Southern Illinois. And the promoter goes out there and tells me, "I want you to go out there, and I want you to cut a promo with another rookie who was only in her second match, and her name was Crazy Mary Dobson, better known as Tara Logan. And we were out there with ODB. We were out there with Tracy Brooks." And the promoter says, I want you to go out there, and I want you to do your thing, and I want you to cut this promo, and I want you to make sure that those people know who you are. Not a problem. I hit the curtain, they started cheering. I'm like, well, this is interesting. I go in the ring, they're cheering. I start yelling at them and insulting everybody and their uncle, and they're cheering. We pick a promo, I get back, and the promoter looks at me all mad and says, what the hell was that? I said, I have no idea, but your relatives were all cheering for me.
Well, I'll tell you, Chaz, so this is Tim, and I knew less than 12 hours ago that you were going to be the guest on the show, and as Todd pointed out, you know, I was a WWF fan when I was a kid, and to that, you know, that pretty much is the extent of my wrestling knowledge, but I did, you know, I wanted to look you up, and I found, kind of like what you were talking about, I found it was a great video. It was great because you were already announced and said you were going to be a manager, and it was funny. One of the videos I saw was one of the announcers in the ring called the manager, and he had words with him after that. And then I think he even got to go off on a couple of the audience members, and I got a kick out of that. And, you know, Todd had even said, sometime we got to get you to one of these so you can be there and see how interactive it is at some of these functions. And just to prove that I've done a little bit of my research, I was going to point out earlier, it seems as though you'd have a birthday coming up here in a few weeks, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yes, I do. September 27th is my birthday. Thank
you.
What do you want for your birthday?
I won't give away the year or anything. But I'm glad you're on the show.
He's
going to
be 53.
And I look forward to listening to the stories and just hearing all the chatter. So I have a feeling this will be one of the shows where I kind of sit back and relax and just laugh with you all and listen to some of the good. Thanks for being here.
My
buddy,
pleasure.
Nobody,
thank you.
Nobody gets to sit back and relax here on Pop Culture Stars. I can tell you that. All right, I'm gonna bring in two people we haven't heard from. First of all, Professor Wrestling, Steve Logan. What you up to tonight? What do you want to ask Chaz about or not?
I did want to ask. Did you work with NAWA before this recent return, and can you talk about that?
Yeah, no, I did not work with them before the return, Steve. I was fortunate enough to get into professional wrestling in 2010, so I've been at it just about 10 years, and a little over 10 years, and I did not work with the NAWA when they were back in the 80s and 90s. I was a fan, like everybody else. And so it kind of brings things full circle that, you know, guys that you saw on Sports Channel America and a company that you recognize from those days is now a company that I'm working for. And it's very humbling. And it's very, it's a little surreal at the moment. And I think it won't really sink in until I hit the curtain and make my first appearance.
It's just cool, isn't it? It's just cool.
Very,
that's the word.
Very cool.
That's great. That's a great
question.
Touch
on what Tim was talking about. We all started out as fans. I mean,
amen.
My first recollection of professional wrestling was old UHF stuff when I was born in New York and raised in Chicago, and so I got blessed to see the old WWWF, and
yeah.
I got to see the rise of superstar Billy Graham, and I got to see Bruno Sammartino and a lot of the guys that were within the old New York and Northeastern territory. And then when Dad's job took us to Chicago, and I got to see the Midwest, and I got to see Gagne and Bobby Heenan and Nick Bockwinkel. And it was kind of funny because, you know, this being Pop Culture Stars, those old studio shows, I mean, their production value was next to nil. There was no pyro, there was no music, there was no anything. You had a ring and you had an interview podium, and that was it. But it still hooked you. I became a huge fan. And
wow.
To transition from being a straight fan to being involved, it's like I said, it's overwhelming at times, and it's extremely humbling.
Well, congratulations. This is Dr. John. I got to say thanks. It's the bottom of the hour, and say thanks to VSC Nation. Thanks for having us on rebroadcasting on Friday evening at 5 p.m. And they also carry, they're nice enough to carry Scarycast. We do Monday nights live and right here on the Internet. And then Friday night at 11 p.m., we are rebroadcast on none other than the VSC Nation. So thanks, Brady Hicks, and your whole crowd for letting us be part of it. Now, I tell you what, due to work-related things, I'm going to have to head on out of here. So I'm going to do two things. Number one, I'm gonna turn the moderation over to Dave Atwell. But first, I want to call on our number one fan in the world on the West Coast. We've got a number one fan on the East Coast. That's Granny. But our number one fan on the West Coast is none other than Malcolm Wildman. And I'm going to say, Malcolm, what have you got to say as I fade on off into the sunset?
Well, Dr. John, I want to say something to Chaz. Chaz, you should say like Martell said to Keanu Reeves, Shane Falco in The Replacements. You should tell all those people that you left in the dust, you guys aren't a has-been, you're a never-was. And then you should say, like Tennessee Cowboy James Storm of Beer Money Incorporated with Robert Root, you say, sorry about your damn luck.
You're awesome, dude.
Chaz and Amy are awesome. I mean, I get to talk to them all the time, and they really cheer me up when I'm down. They really do.
Malcolm.
I love you. I love you, Amy. I love you, Chaz. I love you guys. Yeah, they're really like family. All you guys are like family. Granny, you know, Steve.
Awesome.
I mean, I like the way you call it. Steve, Professor Steve, because that fits him.
Professor
good,
Steve. That's your new name, Steve. Professor Steve.
Yeah.
I got to
give Steve a tremendous amount of credit. You know, like you said, you never stop being a fan of professional wrestling. And when AEW first came on, I kind of just dismissed it and didn't really give them a fair shake and taking a good look at it and said, upstarts, flippity-floppity nonsense. And then, you know, Steve started talking about it, and I said, well, let me check this out and see what it's about. And so, and now I'm hooked. Now I see a lot of good development of the show and their production and the quality of what's presented in the ring. And, you know, my opinion changed of AEW, and I have Steve Logan to thank for that.
Yeah, Chaz. My brother said he's hooked on AEW now. He's mostly the lady wrestlers, but he's hooked on Chris Jericho and Jake.
All right, no, it's a family show there, Malcolm. Take it easy.
I know. I grew up with Pat Patterson and Rocky Johnson, you know, and I used to listen to the fans. I never got to go to a live event, but I loved every Saturday go, Pat, go. Go, Pat, go, and see Rocky do a standing drop kick. You know, I just love that stuff. You know, and Ray Stevens, the great Mephisto, Crazy Luke Graham, the masked interns, and Dr. Ken Ramey. And I was just, you know, I was hooked on wrestling. Then my dad in sixth grade, I was going in sixth grade, and I had my tonsils out the year before, so he won me a repeat sixth grade. And he says, Malcolm, you got to be a man, son. Put the cartoons and the comic books away. And stop watching that wrestling on Saturday. That's ridiculous. And I was like, no. And we'd be watching college football. And every time my dad would get up to use the bathroom, I'd switch the channel to TBS, Georgia Championship Wrestling, or AWA. You know, I was hooked on wrestling. You know, I told Hulk Hogan that when I was down in Orlando.
That's awesome.
And you know what's really weird, Chaz, is you're not a wrestler or anything. And Scotty Too Hotty at one match at Big Time Wrestling, he had me in the ring. He was trying to teach me how to do the worm. This little boy was doing the worm with Scotty. He tried to teach me to do it, but I'm too tall. So when I tried to do it, Scotty grabbed the microphone. He said, well, some people do the worm. Malcolm Wildman humps the ring. Look,
I'm
going to
give you a funny story about Scott. I was fortunate enough to manage against Scott twice. And I cost him the match both times. But then him and Rikishi got even with me one night. And needless to say that, you know, there wasn't enough cologne afterwards. And I blame Scott because it was all his fault. Scott kind of blindsided me, and then Rikishi kind of blindsided me. And then before I knew it, I was on my back and watching him do the worm at too close a distance. But that's okay. Scotty Too Hotty and I aren't done yet. We'll meet up one day.
Scotty's a great guy. He really is. And, you know, it's weird, Chaz. His little kid coming up to me, and, you know, I was like, yeah, can I have your autograph? And I'm like, I was telling Scotty and Val Venus, I'm no wrestler, you know, I'm no, you know, and they're like, go ahead and sign it. I was like, okay, fine. I was like, their mom and dad's like, they want your autograph. Can you sign it? I was like, sure. But I'm not a wrestler, you know? Like, it's weird.
I have
it's
little
weird
kids come up to me saying all kinds of nasty things, and I look at the parents and go, you let that kid kiss you with that mouth? And then they tell me what they think of me, and I figure out where it comes from. Terrible.
You're right.
But, you know, getting the kids involved and everything, that's where it all starts, because I started watching wrestling when I was, 1977. We moved to Paris Island, and cable was just coming through. We were getting cable, and that was, yes, boys and girls, that was before the microwave oven. We were getting cable in, and I had never watched wrestling prior to that. Didn't even know it really existed. And, you know,
no
with
microwave?
Both of my food. No, that was before my, and the first microwave we got was the size of the convention, if you remember that from so many years ago. But it would zap up your bacon a lot faster. It didn't taste as good, but nevertheless. But when I got my first bite of professional wrestling, it was the Mid-Atlantic with Copper Promotions, and Bob Cottle, of course, was the host with David Crockett. And the first match I ever watched was Ric Flair and Greg Valentine against Ricky Steamboat and Wahoo McDaniel.
Oh,
now, and, you know, looking back, you know, there are times, well, from that point forward, that was 1977. We were down there in Paris Island until 83 when we moved up here. That entire five-year span right there, my dad, funny story now, my dad wanted to buy a conversion van. Now, this is back before they started offering people candy to get inside. This is back when
a rolling hotel.
Yeah, they had TVs, they had 8-tracks, they had the CB radios in them. I mean, you got the fold-out couch in the back of it. So my dad, who bought that and convinced my mom, hey, we're going to do some traveling. When we go back to D.C. and see family, we'll take this. It'll be like a little RV. Actually, what it was is a way for him to ferry him and his drunk Marine Corps buddies to Savannah, Georgia, to watch wrestling with us when we were kids. So me and my brother, of course, played bartender in the back and passed the beers out to everybody. And one night when we were there, we got in early, and I can't remember why, but Ox Baker was sitting y'all remember Ox Baker. I mean, you want to talk about somebody that just looked the part? Ox Baker – picture in your mind real quick, everybody, a guy named Ox Baker. Yeah, that's him. Yeah. And
he was on The Price is Right, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, in fact, Ox was one of the main villains or antagonists in Escape from New York.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
True. I was watching some of Ox Baker's promos from Memphis before I cut a promo on Jerry Lawler at a convention. So he's kind of like a loose inspiration for me.
Yeah, I mean, this guy was sitting up in the stands with a pipe and had his arm around this chick that, you know, my dad and all of his Marine Corps buddies just stopped in their tracks and were just sitting there like, whoa. You know, and there he is. Now, this is the same guy who beat the daylights out of Ricky Steamboat and all the fan favorites on TV every Saturday. And now he's sitting up there in the stands with a pipe, chilling with some hot chick. And I'm like, wow, this is neat. You know, this is all right. So that evening, of course, I had already started latching on to the Blackjack Mulligans and the Masked Superstars and the Ric Flairs. Those were my my favorites at the time, and they had curtains, and the good guys would come out of one side, the bad guys would come out of another. there'd be none of this one, you know, guerrilla position place with the pyrotechnics like you were speaking on earlier. It was just a black felt curtain that hung down, and the good guys stayed on this side, bad guys stayed on that side. So I went down there with my Polaroid, you know, the old instant Polaroid. That was back before we figured out to start shaking it, like it would actually make it develop faster. But nevertheless, we go down there, and every now and then a wrestler stick his head out the curtain. Well, I'm out there standing there just waiting and hoping, and who sticks his head out? None other than the Nature Boy.
Woo!
And talked to the guy for a couple minutes, took a picture, and at, I think it was about 9 or 10, he let me hold the old NWA belt that he had won from Harley Race. And
the original 1 pound of gold.
Wow.
Yes. And I've met Flair on several occasions since. And I'm telling you, it's funny. I wanted to name my son after him. And my mom or my wife, you know, vetoed it because we were going to name my son after my dad. And then the middle name was up for grabs. So I says, well, let's go with Rick. And she says, no, we're not naming him Richard. And I said, no, not Richard, but Rick. Okay. So
that's why you get a pet.
I got vetoed out.
Just for the record, Dave, I think Tim will agree with you not naming your son Richard.
Richard Morton?
So
the York Foundation?
So I named him Austin instead. So I still wiggled one in there while she was recovering from childbirth. And that's my son's name. When it comes down to having the kids in there, man, looking around, I think that's something that the kind of the kids are missing out on now versus the wrestling from before. That the wrestlers now just I don't want to blame it on the wrestlers, but it just seems like there's a different it's important that the kids get in there because the kids are going to be the fans of tomorrow, and it can't always be about money. It can't always be about, you know, how much are we shoving in our pockets or, you know, and I understand security. I get that. These guys nowadays can't do what they used to do just due to the crazies in the world. But taking the time out to talk to the kids, I'm telling you, you can make a lifelong fan just by admiring
Dave.
The kids while I'm back.
Dave, can I ask you
something? Yeah, go ahead. What's up?
Who had the better punch? Who had the better punch, Ox Baker or Stan Stasiak?
Oh, man.
That's a tough question, Steve.
Yeah.
That's a tough question.
Yeah, that is real tough. I would just
I've been trying to do my research.
Ox Baker, just because Ox Baker had the look. I wish I'd grow my mustache. I got a pretty impressive beard that comes in. You know, I don't have any blank spots or nothing like that. I'm pretty proud of my beard. But I can't get one of them mustaches going like Ox did. Ox just had that Ming the Merciless look to him. And, yeah, so when it comes down to intimidation, I would probably have to side with Ox.
It's funny you mentioned Ming the Merciless because I met a wrestler that does cosplay wrestling and he cosplayed as Ming the Merciless. His name's Leon Scott. I told him myself he looks like Ox Baker.
Nice.
And by the way, when I saw him cosplay Ming, he actually got tackled by a Flash Gordon, the actor, like in the middle of a match. It was awesome.
Sam Jones.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yep.
Oh,
you know,
one other
pop culture reference that I want to touch on briefly, going back to the old 70s and into the early 80s, those old UHF wrestling shows were the advertisers. I mean, the commercials were so cheesy, but you remembered everybody. And, you know, Todd will probably recognize this name being from Indiana, but I do want to give my deepest condolences to the family of Bob Roorman, Mr. Ronan owned 33 car dealerships between Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin, and he was known for having the goofiest commercials you ever wanted to see. But I was fortunate enough, before I got into the wrestling business, I was fortunate enough to work for him at one of his dealerships. And the guy was just he was an all-around great guy. He was very, very funny, phenomenal, big supporter of television, big advertiser on local TV. And, he passed away this morning. And so I thought we just spent a minute remembering the commercials. Yeah. The commercials between the furniture guys, the car guys, and the liquor stores, and everybody in between that would probably not get airtime today. I mean, they were part of what made an old pro wrestling show unique.
Absolutely. Who was the guy on Georgia State Wrestling that was kind of the sidekick for Gordon Soley? His name was Freddie. I want to say Freddie Lane, but I know that's not right. And he used to always announce the locations and the house shows coming up.
I didn't get to see Georgia Championship back in the day. By the time cable came to the Chicago area, it was already Crockett down in Georgia. It was already World Championship.
Because he used to hit the old B there whenever he did the promos for it.
Yeah, I remember him.
Remember him? Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's
Freddie Gilbert.
Yeah, we got to see Gene Okerlund up here doing those kind of announcements.
Yeah, me and Gene.
Man,
there used to be Mean Gene's hamburger chain.
Yeah,
and I remember it there. It made it into a couple of the base facilities. I know it's definitely there at Lejeune, and man, I'm thinking we might have had it up there at Cherry Point as well.
Yeah,
you may have.
We had one at Visalia. It was off the 99. I went on the 5 normally, but I ended up in the 99. And there's me and Gene holding up his finger, and he's holding a hamburger. I ordered almost everything on the menu.
And then we went back to Bacon Hand Chow.
When I ordered, I go, "Well, I'm really hungry tonight, man. Throw a Mean Gene hamburger, brother." Like that. He almost fell over.
And they thought you flipped, didn't they?
Yeah. It was great. The manager, he said that was great. Man, everybody in the working in here, you made him laugh, like really dad that you did.
Scared the hell out of him, what you did.
No, I made him laugh. We were scared. There were two guys that were pumped up. They're like trying to do it with me, and they do it. Like,
that's awesome. Hey, Granny, how was wrestling back in the 70s growing up in Kansas? I mean, Harley Race was hated everywhere in the country but Kansas. How was it?
Harley Race was, you know, in the Kansas City area, Harley Race was pretty loved up there. I mean, I remember going to a show at Abel's Field one time, and Bulldog Bob Brown came out for his match. And, of course, he was the bad guy that night. And I was sitting on the front row, you know, watching the show, and he told me, and this was way before Granny Hulkster was even thought of. This is like when I was Lori Binge wrestling fan, you know. I mean, this is like, sure. You know, I mean, before, and he's like, "Shut up, lady, and sit down and eat your hot dog," you know, and I'm like, I'm not going to sit down and shut up, you know, and I met some big time people, you know, over the years. But you know, you were talking about, you know, the kids and stuff. You know, I mean, I help with an organization over in Oklahoma called Wrestling for a Cause, and they do shows for kids that have childhood cancer. And I've helped with that organization pretty much from the get go. I mean, I pick up merchandise for the promoter, and you know, and you talk about the kids. I mean, and I tell you, those wrestlers, they make it all about those kids. I mean, and I went to a show one time in Maumelle. This has been, I guess it was last year. It might have been 2 years ago. 2 years ago. And Jerry Lawler was supposed to be there, and Alan Steele was supposed to wrestle with my good friend, Mr. Saturday Night Michael Berry, as Genetic Perfection. Well, Jerry and Alan couldn't make it from Memphis because it snowed, so they couldn't make it to the show. So they stick this guy, Matt Boyce, with Berry, and he, of course, he's acting like the bad guy. And this teenage girl, she's, you know, going through the line for the meet and greet, and they said, he says, well, are you ready to see some good wrestling? She says, well, I'm here to see Granny. And she's like one of my fans. And you talk about people coming up asking for your autograph. I'm just a fan. I'm not a wrestler. But I've had people come up. I've had kids come up, ask for my autograph. I've had adult men that I don't even know come up and get their picture taken with me because, I mean, they think I'm just absolutely great. And so this guy, Matt Boyce, he asked me, he says, Granny, I got to ask you something. He says, do you have your own fan club? And I said, well, I said, I don't know, you know. He says, well, everybody loves you. And I said, well, of course everybody loves me. I'm Granny, you know. I mean, everybody loves Granny. Kind of like what I used to say on Wrestling with History. Everybody loves Granny. Even the bad guys love me. They just don't want to admit it. You know, don't want to admit it.
Granny, you should start handing out oatmeal raisin cookies.
Well, I like chocolate chip
like
myself,
Herbie
Malcolm,
cookies.
You know. But
what,
Steve?
Let Selma Harper
Steve?
Did buy the used car.
Like the Herbie cookies.
But I love, you know, and you talk about, the, you know, whether it's 20 people in the crowd or 20,000. I mean, I went to a show in Oklahoma one time, little town called Jay, Oklahoma, and it was for one of the local federations that was from Tahlequah, and they had maybe 25 people at that show. And I heard the wrestlers say from the back, they said, well, we don't have a big crowd, but it's going to be an awesome night because Granny's in the house. I mean, I can help get the crowd. I have been told, and there was another federation called Traditional Championship Wrestling, and they used to do TV tapings, and they quit running in Arkansas in 2013. Well, they still show the old reruns down in the Little Rock area on TV. And to this day, guys, 7 years later, I still have people come up and ask me, hey, aren't you that lady from TCW? Aren't you that lady that they call Granny Hulkster? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, Tommy Dreamer, I've had dinner with Tommy Dreamer and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Tommy Dreamer used my cane. He used my cane on Matt Riviera, the last TCW show that they did. He took it right out of my hand. And Brian Thompson, he's like, Granny, this isn't fans. Bring your own weapons match. And I said, Brian, I didn't give it to him. He took it out of my hand. I am not going to stop Tommy Dreamer from taking something out of my hand. I'm sorry. Sorry. It ain't going to happen. If he wants it, let him have it. And it was a fold-up cane, so it looked – so he's walking down, and he's swinging it, and it looks like he broke it. And they're like, oh, my God, he broke Granny's cane. And the crowd's just going wild, and the guys are laughing their heads off in the back. And he brings me – and. He takes the handle and tucks the handle of the cane under Matt's tights and pulls up on the bottom of the cane and gave him like a major wedgie and made him start hopping like a bunny rabbit.
Tommy brought my
cane back to me by the strap. He says, Granny, you might want to sanitize this. And he says, it's really stinky right now.
That's awesome.
You know where it's been.
Hey, Dave, I want to tell you a story. First time I met Ric Flair at Frank & Sons in Pomona, California. And I knew Ric Flair back in the 80s, him and the rest of the Horsemen, Barry Windham and Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard were behind this steel cage, and they're doing an interview for the Great American Bash coming up. And they were talking about, we're going to be in Oakland, California, home of the Raiders. You know, Kenny Stabler, Arn Anderson says, I have dinner with Stabler. We honor the Raiders and the Snake from the 70s. So when I met Ric Flair, I wore my Raider jersey and my Snake around my neck, okay? So I go up to Ric Flair, and he's signing an autograph for somebody, and then he looks up at me, and I'm standing over to the side, and Ric Flair's looking straight ahead while they're taking the picture, but his eyes they're going sideways looking at me. So after the picture was taken, I shoot it on my digital camera to Ric. And Ric goes, is that me? And I said, yeah. And he goes, you're okay, are you? And I said, well, I had a mental disability from the U.S. Army. And Rick goes, that figures. Woo!
That is awesome.
Guys,
Malcolm,
I got to share go ahead.
I want to ask Malcolm a story. Just Malcolm, was your part of your original Hulkster channeling or early Hulkster channeling, did they have to do with boot camp?
It wasn't boot camp. It was Fort Benning. I was in the Army for at least 9 years, and I was 29 and I went. Well, it was more like 10 or 11 years, actually. I was 29 and went to Fort Benning in July of 93, and I had a heat stroke on the rifle range and almost died in the hospital 2 times. Yeah. And John's room. Sorry. I was in a coma 3 days after that. Doctor hands me a newspaper. He said, do you know what day it is? And I said, man, this is 5 days after I've on the rifle range. And he goes, well, something inside you was fighting, and I don't know what it was, but it kept you alive 2 times. He was about to call my brother and my mom in Danville, California, through my company commander, Captain Krieger. And he says, you know, do you have any idea what was fighting inside of you? And I said, there could only be one thing. I said, it's had me wound up since 84, since he beat the Iron Sheik, and that's Hulkamania. I said, it just gets me going. And Dr. Johnson says, I'm going to use this as a paranormal story, but I was ordered back to the company area, and Captain Krieger said, we can fly you home. You can come back in 3 months. You can stay here and do something. I said, well, sir, you know, I'd rather just stay here. I don't feel like getting on a plane, waiting in the airport 2 hours and all that junk. So I'd rather be doing something here. He says, well, we could put you in the orderly room and supply room with Sergeant Webb, Sergeant First Class Webb, and Specialist Mahan, who's waiting on orders. And Mahan was from Ball State. And I told Mahan, I used to see Ball State on the college football scoreboard. And it was in Indiana. He was telling me all about it. And then we're on break one day, and he goes, because he can do it better than me, you know, and he's trying to entertain me because I'm down because I can't train with the other guys, the prior service guys I started with in October. So he goes, if I looked up my son, brother, like that, and then he had me do it. And I'm walking up to the barracks on the third floor after the day's over, and I'm talking like Hulk Hogan, and I didn't realize it. And the guys are around my bunk. Hey, you were talking like there was a guy in the shower. He had a towel around him. He said, I heard Hulk Hogan. Where's he at? Now I got to meet this guy. I was like, what the hell's going on? You know? So they're joking with me. And they said, wow, do Ric Flair. Do Andre the Giant. You know, do somebody. You know? And I said, guys, leave me alone.
Oh, baby
day.
Oil.
Yeah. And so one guy says, I'll bet you could only do Elizabeth, the Macho Man's manager. So my bunkmate says, hey, Malcolm, do the Macho Man. And I said, well, I'll try. I don't know if I can sound like him. Yeah, what you gotta realize, man, is the madness is all around Fort Benning, yeah. You know? And the guys are cracking up. So every morning before PT, they want me out there. I still could do PT in the morning with them. I just couldn't train because the sun started coming up about 6:30, and we were doing PT about 4:30 in the morning. It was only an hour, hour and a half, you know, plenty of time to go to chow and everything. So I'm doing this. They said, but you got to do this every morning to get us going, you know, because we're all homesick and everything. So I had to do it for him. And we took the PT final. I was holding the scorecards, you know, helping out Sergeant Webb. We were doing that, you know, on the PT final. I couldn't participate. But 3 guys broke the physical training record at Fort Benning because I did that. And a drill sergeant comes up to me. Hey, Wildman. He goes, you know how to bottle that Hulkamania, man. That stuff is powerful than anything at NASA, you know. And then there was one drill sergeant training again in October. I got on this obstacle course, and this Lieutenant Mudd, he was our XO, Lieutenant Mudd, he was riding me because I passed out on the right one. An infantry soldier, you need to go home and all that. So we're on the obstacle course, and I'm 18 feet off the ground, and I'm looking at Lieutenant Mudd, because he'd been riding me, and I go, yeah, Malcomania's about to drop the double axe handle from 18 feet off the ground on Lieutenant Mudd, and walk for cover.
Well, that explains everything.
That was so
How do we know?
I even held my ears like the double axe handle. I stepped off and one foot off. And they thought I was going to
get one day you're going to blow up, of course.
No, just this week, I have got the worst habit of throwing the dusty roads out there just on regular things. I don't know why I call it a psychosis, but I went to go let the dogs out the other day, you know, and the dogs, they don't like to pee in the rain and because they're divas. And so I opened the door up and it's raining like mad, right? I closed the door back over and wife's like, you didn't let dogs out? And I says, baby, it's raining like a cow pissing on a flat rock out there. Well,
oh, my God.
My son's out laughing, right? So, anyhow, I'm talking to a friend of mine, and I hit him over dusty, right? And he looks at me and gets a smirk on his face. He says, you know, one of these days, Atwell, you're going to get into a bad accident, and you're going to have some type of brain damage. He says, and when you come out, you're only going to be able to talk like the dream. And I looked at him, I said, now, baby, that would be the most awesomest thing that could ever happen to a man like me.
Oh, God. Hey, James, I gotta tell you a story about
monkey
that.
Like a monkey.
You guys remember the old Three Stooges routine, Niagara Falls?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, well, wait a second. My wife, bless her, made the mistake of using the phrase hard times. And it wasn't anything related to wrestling. So we were talking, and she had used the phrase hard times. And I broke into Dusty's hard times promo, and all I could hear is she says the phrase hard times, and then I hear, oh, no, not again. And I start up with the Dusty, and she's like, yep, never again.
I am not listening to it again.
It's a trigger word.
Oh, yeah, so Dusty's hard times is kind of like the wrestling equivalent of Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls.
Step by step.
I love that one by the Three Stooges. I do.
Hard times on Niagara Falls.
It's that kind of stuff.
And one time we were working a show, myself and another manager, and we broke into the Maharaja of Canarsie in the ring in a promo.
Oh, God.
We pulled out two chairs in the Maha in the middle of the ring. It's hilarious.
Hey, Chaz, I went to a WWE event a while back. And I saw Jinder Mahal in the match, and he calls himself the modern-day Maharaja. And I said, you're the modern-day Milk of Magnesia, brother. Like, in the audience.
Oh, my God.
One day they're going to throw you out of those sets.
Hey, I was at a Maharaja.
Go ahead, because he made everybody sick when he talked.
All right, let's keep talking.
I was at a house show in Richmond, and I saw Bobby Roode versus Jinder Mahal, and I couldn't believe the stupid audience were chanting USA when both of them were Canadian. I was like, what are you guys chanting about?
Make sense.
Classic.
Yeah, that's... That makes wrestling go around. And I challenge everybody out there with all the misery going in the world right now, if you're having a bad day, just go and go to YouTube and just type Dusty Rhodes, type Ric Flair, type, if you really want to get a good laugh, type Gene Okerlund laughs. Some of the promos that Gene Okerlund, that one and Rudy.
There are
Wendy
promos
Richter,
that Gene did with Kamala. There were Gene Okerlund outtakes, and he does promos with Kamala that will just crack you up.
I mean,
speaking of,
if it's all right, I want to tell you this. My brother took me to Great American Bash event in July of 1991, and, he went with me. And I'm in there. I'm excited because Sting's going to be there, the Yellow Dog, Brian Pillman. You know, Luger's going to be in there. Barry Windham, and I'm all excited about it. And my brother's sitting there, and he's right by me. He hardly yells. He never yells, you know, and he hardly says anything. But Lady Blossom was stunning Steve Austin's ballet, and they were taking on heavy metal band Hammer. And the referee's in the ring, and my brother yells out, and I'm sorry if this offends anybody, but I got to tell the truth. My brother yells out as loud as he can, "I'm painting these little kids' faces up to look like Sting." And my brother yells out, "Hey, Lady Blossom, show us your tits." And all the guys and Steve Austin stopped. He's laughing. He's grabbing the rope. Van Hammer's grabbing the rope. And the referee's like, he's like coming over. And he starts pointing at Mike and laughing. And then Lady Blossom, she turned red as a tomato. Funny as hell. I've never heard of like that before.
Because you guys corrupted the poor girl. Terrible.
I got something funny to share with you guys. You know, I take, you know, merchandise, you know, for Tim, you know, for Wrestling for a Cause. And he had Trevor Murdoch at a couple of different training seminars to work with the wrestlers. Now, the average fan, obviously, would not normally get to see something like this. Right, guys? Am I right?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, Granny had the privilege of being there for both of these training seminars. And the first one, it was so funny because Trevor Murdoch was talking about, you know, telling the guys how to work the crowd. And he says, and then you have people like that God-fearing, loving woman over there, Granny Hulkster, you know, and he starts talking about the smart marks, and he's kind of like pointing at my direction. And I thought the promoter was going to fall off the ring rope laughing. I said, Trevor, I don't know everything. And he says, darling, you know more than most. So that was the first time. And I had one of my wrestling friends who is a manager for Mid-States Wrestling out of Harrison, Arkansas. He said, Granny, you're part of that wrestling extended family where, you know, like, and that's where, you know, he said, the normal fan would not get to see something like this, you know. So he says, you are privileged. You are blessed to be able to see something like this. Well, the second one I went to, he was talking, you know, telling the guys how to, you know, work their storylines and stuff, you know, how to do their promos. And he says, go to Granny, use her as your goal, make her mad, piss her off. And I'm like, gee, Trevor, thanks. As if I don't get enough grief from these guys as it is, now you're telling them to come make me mad. And that was the show that a couple of my wrestling buddies, they were in a tag team match against London Calling, and they had a manager by the name of Richard Pierce who always likes to interfere in the matches.
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think you would, Chaz. But so
no,
anyway,
I have no clue what you're talking about, interfering.
So anyways, they tell me before the show, they said, Granny, we're going to handcuff you to Pierce. And I'm like, okay, whatever. They did. They handcuffed me to that manager during the match. And I'm standing there with my flesh and my muscles, and Pierce is down on his
like
knees on the floor. And he finally got the keys, and he unlocked his part of the handcuff. He says, okay, you old Badalak, you're on your own. I'm out of here. And he left me, you know, still handcuffed with one side of the handcuff. I finally got unlocked, but, you know, but I mean, but it's fun. I mean, I love doing what I do. And I mean, this one wrestler, matter of fact, it showed up on my memory thing today on Facebook. It was from a year ago. The guy's name is Riker. And I'm standing there with my fists in his face. Now, Riker's about 350 pounds, you know,
whoa.
And he's like, I see the fear in your eyes, and I'm standing there. He's, what are you going to do, Granny? Hit me, and I said, what do you think? I said, I'm not scared of you, and, you know, he's just, I mean, I tell you, I love doing what I do, and I remember one time I got to see Bobby Eaton at a Legends show for Mid-States, and Brian Thompson, his manager, you know, his booking agent was there with him, and of course, Brian's always giving me grief all the time. And he says, Granny, what are you doing here? I said, Brian, I didn't come to see you. I came to see Bobby, so leave me alone. And Bobby looked at Brian Thompson. He says, yeah, Brian, leave Granny alone. She's here to see me. If you don't leave her alone, I'm going to have to hurt you.
You know, Granny, you could be Daisy Moses, Irene Ryan on the Beverly Hills. She took on the Boston Strong Girl.
Well, Bob Orton, he was at a legend show one time, and he stops in the middle of the ring. Okay, he stops in the middle of the match, right? And he stands there, and he stomps his foot, and he puts his hands on his hips, his fist on his hips, and he says, Granny, I thought we were friends. And I said, we are. He says, well, then why are you booing me? I said, because you're not being a very nice boy today, Bob. You're being very, very bad. But he literally just stopped in the middle of the match. I mean, he did. He just stopped. He stopped what he was doing and just stomped his foot and says, Green. I mean, I love it. I love doing what I do. It's so much fun.
Yeah, you know, I got a bad feeling that Granny's going to probably drag me out of a ringside area by my ear at some point. It's the recurring nightmare.
I think she might do, since we brought up the Stooges, she might tell you to grab your own ear with your hand, and then she'll grab you, you know, by your wrist and pull you while you still hold on to your own ear.
You know the sad part is I probably would do that.
Hey, I wouldn't hurt you too much, Chaz.
Oh, I know you wouldn't because you love me.
Well, that's to be determined yet, my friend. That's to be determined yet.
I was thinking
drawing references between pop culture and professional wrestling. I mean, you go all the way, take the Stooges, for example, in the episode that they did where Curly was impersonating Bustoff the Wrestler. I mean, they've always been intertwined. Entertainment, movies, television, professional wrestling. Ever since the 30s and 40s, it's always been intertwined. And I think it's a part of Americana that won't go away, or at least shouldn't go away.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Chuck, remember one where the Stooges, they were like Three Musketeers guarding the Queen? And they ended up wrestling each other back in the medieval days or whatever it was. It was really funny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we laugh at that stuff, but you take a look at it, it was back to the old carnival days. I mean, it was a pure form of entertainment. And it was, just to let Tim know, you know, from the insider, it's an interactive form of entertainment. I mean, Granny lets the bad guys have it, cheers the good guys, and she gets a reaction out of them, and they get a reaction out of her, and everybody that's in the surrounding area is either laughing, cheering, crying, or going, what the hell am I watching? And, I mean, you don't get that at a movie, or you don't get that at a concert, because it's a different type of interaction. It's a very interactive sport.
Have you met Randy?
My fans are getting the Granny chant going. They when I start hollering at the bad guys and they start talking smack to me, and I start talking smack back to them, they all Granny, Granny. They get the Granny chant going.
Yeah. I met Randy Orton down Westgate, and I went to Randy. And I had a snake around my neck, you know, because I always wear that for Stone Cold, Kenny Stabler, Steve Austin, you know, and Jake the Snake Robert. And then Randy says, is that for me? Because he's the Viper. And I said, yeah, if you want it to be. And Randy says, are you a big fan of mine? I said, well, Randy, I got to be honest. I like Roddy Piper and your dad when they were teamed up back in the 80s more. So I said, I like you. I think you're a great champion, Randy, but I like your dad a whole lot more. And Randy says to me, Malcolm, I like my dad a whole lot more. Okay.
That is a great story.
Well, guys, you talk about the kids getting involved. At the last WFC show that I went to in July, one of the bad guys, his name's Alex Royal, they call him the Showcase. He turned around and blew me a kiss, right? Well, Lily, my little friend Lily, she's my tag team partner. Her and her dad and her grandpa always comes to WFC, and her dad had had some health issues for several months, and so he's been walking with a cane. She says, Dad, she says, next time Alex Royal blows Granny a kiss, I'm going to grab that cane of yours, and I'm going to hit him in his groin.
Oh, my God.
And this girl is like 10 or 11 years old, but she loves wrestling. She loves it. She loves it.
Awesome. Hey, guys. This is Tim again. But it's 10:15. It's
getting that time right.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. Because we are having the best of time. But, of course, the British lady will cut us off in 15, actually, now 14 minutes. it's funny how that British lady works. You know, they took the L back in 1776. We shouldn't be having any
sing?
More.
But, is she a big lady that sings?
That being said, we have had the best show tonight. We appreciate everybody being on, but what we have to do, very importantly, is pass around the room to everybody to give their promos and their any type of stuff you want to plug. So what I'd like to do is start with our guests because, of course, Todd, Tim, myself, we get to shoot the breeze all the time. So it's more important to hear out of the folks that aren't with us every week. So that being said, Granny, if you'd like to start, ma'am, ladies first, and then we'll go Malcolm, Chaz, and then over to Steve. You guys tell us where we can find you, anything we can do to help you guys out and spread the word about your work. So, Ms. Granny, turn it loose.
Well, I am on Facebook. My real name is Lori Burt, but it has Granny Hulkster in parentheses. You can find me there. I want to plug the Ryder Cup show coming up September 18th and 19th in Owosso, Oklahoma. This show was started for a little boy by the name of Ryder back in 2011, and that was the first show that they did for Ryder, and he lost his battle with cancer. So the last 3 years they've been doing a two-day wrestling event for the Ryder Memorial Cup show in Owosso, because that's where Ryder was from. So anybody in the Oklahoma area, Owosso area, check that out. Anybody can contact me, message me on Facebook for any questions. And everybody have a great week, and I was glad to be a part of your show again, guys. Appreciate you having me on with y'all.
We love you.
Oh, we love you, Granny.
Oh, we want to have you back.
I love you all, too. So.
Outstanding. Malcolm, talk to me.
Does that include Chaz? Does that include Chaz?
Now I'm hurt.
Well, that's up for determination yet. I haven't quite determined that yet. So.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell him yes and then have him get a really swelled head, guys, you know, so.
Too late.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
Dave, I talked to another guy, Dave, for the Hollywood show. And he said they're doing a meeting tonight and it may be canceled. You know, so I'm kind of disappointed about that. But I think we should wish good luck to the Las Vegas Raiders because I don't think they'll win a game unless the other team shoelaces are tied. I had to get that in.
Wow.
I'm a Black Hawks fan, so I'm going to be out of it. Brother Chaz, tell us
yes, sir. I want to thank you all for having me on again. I'm looking forward to my new monthly role as a host on this great podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very excited about that. And I do want to put in a plug to the North American Wrestling Alliance. You can check them out once the website is relaunched, which you'll find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm all over the place at Chaz Moretti. We're going to make announcements leading up to the relaunch of the website of the NAWA, so please be on the lookout for that. It'll be NAWAProWrestling.com. And again, the relaunch is going to happen some point next week. And I'm very proud of the work that Tony Capone and his crew are doing with getting the NAWA back up to speed again, and I'm very excited to be a part of it. And, you know, for everybody that wants to continue talking about professional wrestling, please feel free to call in to WCW Retro with the Stro tomorrow night. Again,
yeah.
I'm the VOC Nation.
One of the all-time.
I'm a regular panelist, as is Malcolm, Granny. Steve is there trying to keep everything organized in what we call as a – what we like to call as basically a battle royal of voices and egos. But we all love each other, and we all celebrate the fact that that this is a sport that we can talk about from the 1950s to the 2020s. And
yeah.
So those are my plugs for the evening. And again, thanks, guys, for having me on. And I look forward to talking with you all next month. And next month, we're not going to talk wrestling. We're going to talk pop culture. Because there was a conversation we started my last appearance about the Batman TV show that I want to continue.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, we still got to talk food, because you guys, you had some food picks. You had some mussels and ragu without pasta.
Yeah, no, I love cooking. Cooking is it's my release. It's my art form. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh,
I like
you know what, Chaz? I may hit you offline on that. You good with that?
Oh, please do.
Chaz is cooking.
I can't drink a fair amount of tequila, so I may as well cook.
It all falls in
the
same place.
But thanks again, guys.
Right?
I appreciate everything.
Hey, we appreciate you being on, because, like I said, it's always great having you on. When you came on last time, I mean, it wasn't for 30 seconds after the show, we're all going, damn it, John, you got to get this guy back on. So the news that you're going to be on more often than not is just fantastic. We're looking forward to it very much. So, and in the event you want to get on, you ain't doing nothing on a Wednesday night, feel free just to get a hold of one of us. And all I got to do is click on your microphone on the board here, and bada bing, bada boom, you're here with us. So look forward to having you back.
Yeah. Thank you.
Steve, are you still
there? Steve,
you're up, brother.
Yeah, you can. Before I plug, I wanted to mention there was some recent news about breaking news earlier about The Rock and his family testing positive for COVID. Thoughts and prayers and love towards their way. Yeah, unfortunate news.
No doubt.
Hate to end it on a down note, but yeah, you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Stellar Steven, and I might possibly be Twitch streaming eventually. But so, those are my plugs for the week. And looking forward to Retro tomorrow.
Joining up with us and everything, it's always good to have you on. It's always good talking wrestling. So that's just magic, baby. We love having you on here, Daddy. And if that old Anderson comes to your house, you tell him the Dream going to come over there and mess up his evening, baby. Now, in the event that I get thrown off the show, I'm just going to put a black mask and a cowboy hat on and call myself the Midnight Rider. But nevertheless,
what happened? Wait a second. I was working a show in Wisconsin a number of years ago, and Goldust was on the show, and we're sitting in the back of the locker room, just talking about the 80s and the old days and the NWA, and we talked. The conversation shifted to Dusty, and I said, "Jesus Christ, Dustin, I loved your dad even when he was the Midnight Rider." And Dustin shot me a look and said, "Wait a minute, my dad was the Midnight Rider?" And I looked at him and I said, "Nah, it had to be somebody else."
That is funny.
And the Indie kids had no clue what we were talking about.
That's great. Yeah, the Midnight Rider. That never gets old. Tim, talk to me. What you got to plug?
I'm a Black Scorpion guy myself.
Ric Flair got a haircut.
All right, come on, Tim.
All right, so I had a question for Chaz here. I don't know what kind of time we're running on. What have we got? Like 5 minutes left?
Yeah, we got about four. Four, yeah.
Four, four. All right, well, that gives me some time because I
got
basically
you 3 minutes.
All right, come on.
Yeah. So, real quick, because what I started to do before we, ended at the roundtable here is I wanted to ask Chaz a quick question. Just going back, we had talked about, like, everyone had talked about how this is for the kids, and it gets them involved and, the magic for them. And I just kind of out of curiosity because I'm looking at some of these videos and, a lot of this is ad hoc and stuff like that. And I was just curious, as one who doesn't have the experience of being there watching all this, has there ever been a time, or if there's been several, like, what's the greatest time that maybe there's been an adult who's been a little too rowdy, or how should I say, vulgar, and you've maybe had to shut them up or so? Has that ever happened? Or if so, like, what's,
Oh, yeah, it's happened. It's happened quite a few times. In fact, there was one time in which a fan, it was a female fan. I mean, she just wouldn't, I was performing a promo and she wouldn't let me get a word in. She just kept yelling what and trying to, become part of the show. And so I told her, I said, you want to be part of the show? Yeah. I said, okay, repeat after me. Are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. You sure you're ready? Yeah, I'm ready. All right, repeat after me. You're ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Okay, good. Here's what I want you to say. I'm full. I couldn't possibly eat anymore. She got quiet. It's about 5'2" and about 450 pounds. She got real quiet.
Yes.
The thousands in attendance.
The brow jokes rule.
The radio.
Well done.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to bring up. I was curious, what kind of things you've encountered. And because I can imagine with a lot of the impromptu stuff and what you'd have to deal with, it was kind of circling my head the whole time. But
One time I was working against Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah.
And Jim got on my nerves, and I went and I kind of choked him a little bit. And I hear the fans in the back in the first row behind me going, "That jerk's hurting Hacksaw. We're gonna jump him after the show." And Hacksaw is laughing, and I said, "Jim, Jesus Christ, what are you doing to me?" He goes, "Isn't it fun?" I'm like, "Oh Lord, I'm gonna get killed."
It happens.
Oh,
when I get to big time wrestling, I stand in the back and just yell all night long.
We know, but it's the CAC mouth. You're supposed to be quiet during the banquet.
I can't. I've got to yell when the wrestlers are in the ring. I get excited.
Todd,
Todd.
We got 45 seconds for you, Todd. Go ahead and hit it off.
All right. Go ahead, Todd.
Look, I got a plug having you guys on here. If anything reinforces us proving that we're unscripted, the gamut of things that we've talked, the camaraderie that we've shared, thank you. I want to say, everybody take care of one another. Take care. Start with your household, your friend, your family, and your friends. And just those little acts of kindness. Be good to one another. Big hugs.
That's right.
Amen.
That's most right. Yep. Amen.
God bless.
And we got about... Thanks, British lady, bitch. Just real quick, we have Labor Day this weekend, boys and girls, Labor Day. Now, that's for the civilian working populace. And again, I'll say it out loud, the civilian working populace. Y'all be safe out there. If you're going to have a couple drinks, make sure somebody else is driving. And remember, be safe, take care of yourselves, and repeating what Todd said, take care of one another. Same thing, this nation are not that bad. We still are the greatest place to be on the planet. I don't give a damn what CNN tells you. God bless America. Y'all have a happy Labor Day. Be safe. Enjoy yourselves. And let's celebrate the hard work we put forth every day. Thanks, British lady. Up yours. 10 seconds. Thanks again, everybody.
God bless everybody.
Thanks, Ben.
You know what I mean.
Malcolm, Chaz, Randy, Mr. Steve, thank you, Tim, Todd, thank you. I got it all in. Outstanding.
Thanks for being here with us, guys. Group, you are the best.
The English bitch, hang on, and...